Welcome to the Generations Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor Brian Nugent. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life. For more information about Generations Church, please visit our website at gctlh.org or like us on Facebook.
All right, take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, I'm going to start a new series today called Intensives. And now, if you've ever had like a college class during the summer where they focus a lot of information but in a short period of time, or maybe you've been to a conference or a seminar, that's kind of my thought for this. I want to take some broad topics, simplify them a little bit, give them to you in one Sunday over the next few weeks, plus getting back into school, kind of getting in the routine of school, kind of get our spiritual routine back together as well. So intensive part one, we're going to talk about spiritual health. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. I want to just give you an easy plan for spiritual health this morning. 1 Peter 2 and 1 says, "Rid yourselves then of all evil, no more lying or hypocrisy or jealousy or insulting language." Now that one, I could preach on that one for a while, okay? We need to maybe put that on the refrigerator. That'd be a good one, all right? But he finishes, he says, get rid of evil, but be like newborn babies, always thirsty for the pure spiritual milk, so that by drinking it, you may grow up and be saved. Always thirsty. You got a newborn, they're always hungry, always hungry. He said that quality is something that we need in our own lives. So I want to give you real quick the big picture pathway to health, big picture, but then I want to kind of focus in on some more, you know, some things that are, you know, maybe kind of a little more narrowly focused when it comes to our spiritual health. So this is the big picture to spiritual health, kind of five things that the Lord wants from us. Number one would be to follow Jesus, you know, to accept him as Savior. If you're here today, man, you've never had that relationship with Jesus, I would love to talk to you about it. It is the greatest decision that you'll ever make in your life. So that's the first thing, is follow Jesus. The second thing is grow in your faith. I could preach weeks on growing in your faith. I'm going to talk about it a little bit this morning, but grow in your faith. You just saw the passage there. Have that hunger and thirst and grow. The next part of that is connect with like-minded believers. So especially, I want to say, through the local church. We're not loners. I'll talk about that in a moment. But God wants you to connect with others. And I'll mention that this morning. Discover your gifts, talents, and purpose. That's another kind of thing that the Lord wants you to discover. You are created by God to bring glory to the Lord and be a blessing to other people. And part of that is the internal discovery of when God has saved you and what your spiritual purpose is, why God has saved you and what he wants you to do with your life. And the last part of that is just serve others. Just serve others. Be involved in service. Serve God and serve other people. So that's basically big picture. That's the biblical path of to spiritual health. Now, if you've been in the faith for a while, we, number two, number three, and number five, we live there. We never kind of graduate from there. I mean, number four, once you discover, you know, you kind of move on to number five. But if you've been in the faith for a while, then we are continually growing in our faith, connecting with others, and serving others. That's kind of the track that we lived on. So that's kind of big picture this morning. But I want to break it down and just be a little more practical when it comes to our pathway to spiritual health. Now, if you don't have an annual physical, you need to do that. Okay, I'll just say that. Everybody needs to have an annual physical. And then when it's your annual physical day, that's a real exciting day, isn't it? That's just, you wake up singing, "This is the day the Lord has made." We're excited. You know, it's our annual physical. And, we know, because it's never any good news, right? Never, ever is it good news? He never looks at the chart or she and says, you know what? Your blood work is saying you need to eat a little more pizza and chicken wings. You know, we never get that. It's always something, and they always give you kind of the pathway. Now, here's some things that we need to work on, and that's kind of what I want to do today. I want to give you about four different things that I want you to work on, because being physically fit is important, so is being spiritually fit. So if you're physically fit, this is kind of your goal right here. I mean, that's kind of, you know, that's kind of the way that we're headed, the direction we're headed. But if we're going to look like that, then we've got to be dedicated to picture number two. You got to have that. If you're going to commit yourself to physical fitness, then you have to, at some point, you gotta exercise. You gotta get in the gym. But we want picture number one. That's what we want, right? Picture number one, we love that. But when it's time to make a choice, we choose picture number three, right? There we go. And I want to tell you, you never choose picture number three and get picture number one. All right? Everybody, you got choices in your life. So if you want to be physically fit, then you've got to make some choices. And I want to say to some of you, let's talk about spiritual health. Some of you, you're not doing well spiritually. You're not very healthy spiritually. Some of you are just kind of hanging on this morning, and we got to make some good choices. Now I want to say something. I really just feel like God just dropped this in my heart, and it will go right along with the word that you heard this morning. But God will never impose upon us something we don't seek, hunger, or ask for. We're always spiritually, we want to look like picture number one. Spiritually, we've always got these very high spiritual goals that we have in our life. But when it comes to, you know, making the choices to becoming spiritually fit, we don't choose that. We don't choose that. We're making other choices. And I just want to say, God is never going to impose upon you spiritual health. But it will only come when you seek and hunger and thirst after the things of God. And then you'll see some spiritual health returning to your life. And I want to say, some of you are not healthy. Some of you are not, you're not healthy. The doctor looks at you after your physical and goes, hey, there's some areas you need to work on. I want to say this morning, some of you, you're not healthy this morning. So I want to kind of use the intensive method. I'm going to give you maybe four things. It could be much broader, but I really want to kind of simplify it this morning and get us on a path of spiritual health and growth. So let me give you the first thing. First thing this morning, it'll just be water baptism. It'd be water baptism. If I could say to some of you, listen, you need to be baptized in water. Now, some people, they come to the Lord in all kinds of different ways. You know, some it's very public. They come down to the front of the church. They give their heart to the Lord at a Bible study or at the office or alone. And when they come to the Lord, they've got a new identity. They're like a new person. It's like getting a new kind of new driver's license. Your identity is completely brand new. You are a new creature. You're a new creature in Christ. You're transformed into His image. You're the Son of God. You've got a great inheritance. And baptism is the first step that connects what we've done privately with the, you know, with our new public identity. That's what baptism does. Jesus commanded this he showed us by example, but then he said, look, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So he's saying part of spiritual growth and health has to do with becoming a disciple, and baptism is part of that. Baptism is part of that, you know, that initial public identity that we need to let everyone know about. So baptism says, I'm a follower of Christ. Baptism says I'm surrendering to His Lordship in my life. This isn't just going to be something in name only, but I'm giving my entire life over to the Lordship of Jesus. Baptism says what I used to be is now buried with Christ. Aren't we glad with that? He buried all that old junk in the back. I don't carry that anymore because it's part of my new identity. I'm not known by that anymore. Baptism says I'm a new person living in the likeness of Christ. And baptism says I'm identifying with the body of Christ and the church. So listen, if you know, you need this in your life. I think it's important. And some people, you know, for whatever reason, they don't do it. Baptism is your coming out. Everybody uses the term, I'm coming out. I'm letting people know I'm coming out. This is our coming out. This is our coming out. Now, I had one guy, as I was talking to him about baptism, he said, no, I'm afraid that I won't be able to live it, so I'm just going to keep it down low, okay? Because that's what Jesus taught, right? Just keep it down low. Just keep it down low. Don't tell anybody. Take your candle, blow it out. Don't tell anybody. No, that's not. You know, baptism is the celebration of everyone coming to Christ. And I just want to say it is an essential part of your spiritual well-being. So you need to be baptized if you're new to faith in Christ. You need to be baptized if you've just never gotten around to it. You've been a believer for a while, but you've just, for some or whatever reason, you've never gotten around to it. Or maybe you've come back to the Lord. Maybe you've kind of rededicated your life to the Lord, and this is your opportunity in front of everyone to say, hey, I'm starting new. Now, let me tell you of an amazing coincidence. We're having baptism next Sunday. What an amazing coincidence we have. This is. So if you're new, if you want to rededicate, if you've never just gotten around to it, we want to celebrate you. Jesus said, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son of the Holy Spirit. And the first part of spiritual health is being baptized in water. Second part, if I could just give you just a few things as your pastor to take you into spiritual health. Be faithful in your time with the Lord. Worship, scripture reading, and prayer. Be faithful in your time with the Lord. Worship, scripture reading, and prayer. If you're a Sunday only, man, you're missing a lot. You know, God's got some really cool things that he does Monday through Saturday. He's got some really cool words he wants to speak to you. There's some really cool things that God wants to do on Thursday. God wants to speak to you on Tuesday. And if that's kind of your pattern, I'm just kind of a Sunday person, then you're missing something. So I think it's something in the body of Christ that we need on a regular basis, and that is our worship and our scripture reading and our prayer. You're missing something that God wants to do and say to you throughout the week. A lot of times we go through the week and we're hurting, or we need direction, and we don't even give the Lord the opportunity. We don't even come in the closet of prayer to hear what God may have for us. Some of you've got great spiritual needs in your life, and you never know. It might be a Wednesday noon that the Lord has a word for you, but we never pull away. We never pull away. We rarely give the Lord opportunity throughout the week to speak to us. So if there's anything that I could say as a pastor for you to do to get spiritually fit, it would be have a regular time with the Lord. Psalms 42 says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants after you, my God. Look at this next verse. My soul thirsts for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? He's looking. When can I meet with him? I'm hungry. My soul's thirst. Where can I go? Where's a time that I can meet? And it's that same kind of hunger and thirst in your life that will drive you to Jesus. And I promise your devotional life will be a blessing to you. But we got to have spiritual hunger. Got to be hungry. You ever been hungry at work? Ever been hungry at work? You know, like I go get a salad, trying to eat healthy, and you know what? 1 hour later, I'm starving. You know, I try to eat healthy, and a couple of months ago, so I'm going, maybe there's something in my backpack. Have you ever prayed for a miracle, like in your purse or a briefcase? Oh, God, maybe there's a granola from 2014. I looked, nothing. There was an old gym sock, but outside of that was it. I started looking through my desk. Oh, maybe there's something here. And I found Zaxby sauce. Okay, now we've got the basis for a great snack. I got Zaxby sauce. I keep looking through my drawer. I found 10 ibuprofen. Oh, yeah. Hey, don't criticize it. It's good. You just dip it in. You're not swollen the rest of the day. I mean, it's good. Look, if you've got hunger in your life, if there's spiritual hunger, you'll find a way. You'll find a way to fill it. I want to say it again. God's not going to impose anything upon you that you won't seek or hunger or come after him. But if you'll open your heart up and say, Lord, I'm seeking after you. I'm thirsting for you. Then God will bless you. So let me just focus on that time with the Lord for just a moment. Let's talk about just our personal worship throughout the week. Our personal worship. And I want to thank everybody, you know, that comes here. Maybe, I don't know what your background is. Maybe you're, you know, maybe you come from a church that doesn't worship, you know, like us. I mean, you look around, you know, hands are clapping, hands are raised, and, you know, and you're trying to participate, you know, maybe you're like just tapping your toe or whatever. I'm just telling you, worship is great. Worship is great when you open your heart up and you let the Lord, you know, let the Lord kind of move in your heart. Jesus said that there's a time that is coming that true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And he said, this is what the Father's seeking after. This is what the Lord's looking for, those that want to worship him. He'll bless you in your personal, you know, in your personal time of worship. And when you start thinking about the Lord, that feeling of expression of love, appreciation, reverence, adoration for God, we start worshiping God. And then what happens? Worship elevates us into God's presence and God's power. Folks, throughout the week, that's where we need to live. I don't know about you, but throughout the week, I just don't need it on Sunday. But I need God's presence and power and worship. Personal worship will do that throughout the week. You need this. Let the Lord put a song of the Lord on your heart. You ever just got a song in your heart? You're like, where did that come from? Where did I get that song? Start singing that. That's a song of the Lord. Start singing and worshiping God that way. So there's our private time with the Lord is worship. It's scripture reading. Scripture reading. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. It's refreshing the soul. Listen, the Bible is not written, you know, for an exercise in literary torment. When some people, when they think about reading the Bible, it's like, oh my goodness gracious. No. God has something that he wants to say, you know, say in your life. He wants to feed you. He wants to encourage you. He wants to direct you. He wants to renew your mind. He wants to give you encouragement. But we don't ever really kind of open this. So I want to say we're missing something. Personal worship, scripture reading, and prayer. Yeah, well, I missed something on the Bible reading. Just a second. Ways to improve your Bible reading. So if you're just reading, you know, don't do that. Don't just do a chapter a day. Don't just do that. Underline, highlight important words, thoughts, and stories. When we read, we need to start thinking through this. Instead of just reading, you know, like, I've done my chapter. If that's been our habit, then we won't pull any fruit out of that. And it's very difficult to motivate you to read God's word when you don't see any benefit out of it. So when we read, we need to underline, highlight important words, thoughts, and stories. We need to journal our thoughts. Man, if something came to your mind, write it down. Some of you have a Bible journal. I keep a document open on my computer. When I read something that speaks to my heart, man, I write it, you know, I write it down. So journal, think, question, analyze, make conclusions. As you're going through God's word, you know, use your mind, allow God to speak. And I promise you, man, when you start having some times with the Lord, when you walk away and you've got some things that have, you know, that have been plugged into your heart, it provides motivation for you to come back, you know, come back a little bit later. And the last part of your private time with the Lord is prayer. Don't be anxious about anything, but pray about everything. Don't be anxious about anything, but pray about everything. Samuel Chadwick, I love his quote. The one concern of the devil is to keep the saints from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil. He mocks our wisdom, but he trembles when we pray. Can I just say, there's a lot going on in your world personally, and how many can afford, you know, just the attitude of prayerlessness over your life? Nobody can. We've got to be people that pray. We've got to be people that are committed, you know, that are committed to prayer as part of our regular time, you know, with our regular time with the Lord. So I'll just give you a little list. Things to pray for. Pray that you'd be closer to God. Pray for the lost. Pray for your marriage. Pray for your kids. Pray for God's provision. Pray that God would use you. There are all kinds of things that are beneficial to you when you pray. And we can't afford prayerlessness. Your world can't afford prayerlessness. Your kids can't afford prayerlessness. You know, your marriage, your spiritual life. So I just want to say, I mean, if I could, you know, speak spiritual fitness to our congregation, what is something else that you could do? That would be regular times with God. Worship, scripture reading, and prayer throughout the week. Now, when you came in, you got a card called Fuel 15. We launched this 1 year ago. And it was just a resource that we wanted to put in your hands, because my goal is, here's my goal, at least four times a week, 15 minutes a day. That'd be on a bad week, okay? Four times a week, 15 minutes a day. And out of that 15 minutes, 5 minutes of prayer, 5 minutes of scripture reading, and 5 minutes of worship, okay? That's not anything, you know, that's not anything that's, you know, that's crazy. And that may be just be a minimum. Maybe you would find some more time to do that. But I just want to encourage you with your time with the Lord. And on this resource, we put a playlist together. It's on YouTube, it's on Spotify, it's a lot of the songs that we sing. I use that in my worship time. If you're more traditional, if you like hymns, we've got a playlist for you. If you're Spanish, we've got a playlist for you. You can just plug it in and just begin to worship. I give you Bible study ideas. I give you a book of the Bible to study, a person of the Bible to study, a word study. We give you different devotional, you know, kind of age-appropriate college, children, students. We're trying to do what we can to put at your fingertips resources so that you can spend time with the Lord. All right, so that's one thing. The next thing, especially if you're adult, is our Wednesday night refuel. Man, 1 hour, we commit 1 hour a week. And on Wednesday night, it is worship, it is scripture reading, and it is prayer. Sometimes if you've got a little trouble, you know, finding time throughout the week, you know, being part of our Wednesday night service and just coming, it's 1 hour. We worship, we read scripture together, and then we pray. And we call it refuel. Sometimes on Wednesday, by Wednesday, you need the refueling. So if I could say one thing to encourage you in the area of spiritual health, it would be find your regular time with the Lord, whatever that is, throughout the week. I promise you, God will bless your life. Let me give you something else. Connect with other believers. So then you're not foreigners or strangers any longer. You're now citizens together with God's people and members of God's family, connecting with other believers. So there's no biblical loners. If I'm alone, if I'm a biblical loner, I can't be touched and blessed by other people. And I can't bless other people. So, you know, there are about 30 scriptures in the Bible that talk about ministry done, like, in the context of a church. So in a lot of ways, you won't be able to serve God if you're a biblical loner like you need to be. He puts you in a family. One passage that I like that talks about, you know, relationships, it says confess your faults one to another that you might be healed. So that's a passage, you know, I'm not going to confess my fault to a stranger. That's somebody that I know well. That's somebody that I've got confidence in. Confess your faults to one another so that you may be healed. But the part that I want you to see is, man, that's somebody that you've got great spiritual confidence in, that you've got a deep spiritual relationship. Can I say, we need those kind of people in our life. We need godly people in our life that we are connected with. Now, let me say, if you're new to Generations Church, let me tell you, this is a great church family, okay? They adopted us about 3.5 years ago, and let me just say, it's a wonderful family. Now, it's a crazy family. Can I tell you? Every family's got crazy people in it, and so do we. But We've enjoyed being here. We've enjoyed the relationships here. It is a great place to call home. It is a great place to raise your family. Now, we're not perfect. We're not perfect. We don't come out of perfect church backgrounds, but this is a great place to be for you, you know, for you to have a church family. So I just want to mention that to you. So if you're new here, if you're new, or maybe you've just kind of been here a while, but you've never really taken the next step as far as relationships are concerned, just kind of really getting involved, really getting to know people, can I just encourage you to really take that next step? Now, we just happen to have a few events that will help you do that. Number one is small groups are coming up in 2 weeks, our Connect groups. We let you pick the class that you want, and here's a way that you can grow in your faith, but you can also meet new people, you know, at the same time. If you're new to our church, I teach a class just for new people. People have been here a little while. I'd love to have you in that class, but we start in a couple weeks. I just want to tell you, man, take the next step. Take the next step. I believe God will bless you with some great friends. There's some great folks in this church that can be a blessing to your life. That's one way. The next part is serving. Find a place to serve. You can go to our website. There are different ministry areas, but that's how you get to know people. It's not meant, you know, Sunday morning is not meant, you know, not, it's not designed to build relationships, but it's those small groups and those other opportunities. So I want you, if I could say anything, don't be a loner. Don't be a loner. And if I could say anything to our Generations Church family, we need to always be mindful that there are new people that want to break into our circles, okay? And they're not the enemy. They're not the enemy, okay? There are new people, and they always want to take the next step, and we need to make sure that we just don't acknowledge them, their, you know, their presence, but that we invite them into our circle. And that is a big difference there. So if you go here on a regular basis, we want to make sure that we are, you know, that we are open and welcoming, and that we allow people at our lunch table, we allow people in our small group, we allow new people to kind of, you know, to kind of ramp up. So that's something else, okay? And if you're a regular attender here too, you know, there are new relationships that God wants you to have that will strengthen you and stretch you. You know, sometimes we get around the same group, and they're beneficial to us, but there are other ways that you can change and grow by having different relationships in your life too. So I just want to say, keep your heart open. The last thing, spiritual fitness. Be baptized in water. Have a regular time with God. Connect with, in an authentic way, connect with other people. And then just regular encounters with the Holy Spirit. Regular encounters with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'm going away. It's for your good that I'm going away. And when I go away, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He's gonna do something powerful in our life. Now, we live in a natural world with what we see and what we touch. But there's another world in which we cannot see. It's a supernatural, you know, it's a supernatural world. And the Holy Spirit equips me, you know, for life, you know, and ministry, equips me in a supernatural way. And we need the Holy Spirit in our life. We need that. Can I say we need the Holy Spirit in our church? We need the Spirit of God. Look, this just isn't a thing where we know about Him. What did I say? Regular encounters with the Holy Spirit, Lord. We need that in our spiritual life. You know, the Ezekiel looked at and he saw dry bones. And what was the key to the dry bones? It was the breath of God. And some of you, it's been a long time since you've really had that impact, that experience with the Holy Spirit. You look at your spiritual life and it's kind of dry, and it's kind of, you know, maybe you feel like I'm not very spiritually healthy right now. I want to say that's where the Spirit of God can help us, and the Spirit of God can quicken us. Sometimes we need that CPR that comes from the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we need Him just breathing His breath in our life. Folks, if we've ever needed the Holy Spirit in our life, we need that now. Man, I want you to come. Listen, we live in a crazy world now. We live in a crazy world. We've got a nut in North Korea that any day could change the world as we know it. We've got ugly examples of racism that we saw on the news yesterday. It was terrible. It was so terrible. Our nation, you know, heads toward godlessness and humanism and secularism. Listen, if there was ever a time that there were spirit-filled believers in a spirit-filled church, that's now. We need that now. We need the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Listen, some of you, you're not spiritually healthy. You're not doing well. You're not doing well. You're barely hanging on. Barely making it to church. I want to tell you, God wants to do something powerful in your life. It's not His will that you go that you always live a weak and emaciated life. But He's got a great life for you. Let's go back to 1 Peter. He said, throw aside all the evil and hunger and thirst after God. I want to see you spiritually fit. But God's not going to impose anything upon you that you don't seek Him for or ask Him for or pray for. We always want to see, you know, God do great exploits through me. Well, it only comes when we begin to seek and hunger after the things of God. Otherwise, it won't happen. He's not going to impose anything upon us as a church. He's not going to let anything just happen to us. It only comes when we seek and we hunger after God. I want you to be spiritually fit. We live in a day now. Where we need men and women of God who are in the marketplace full of God's Spirit, and they are strong in God's Word. Listen, it's that pull of culture that we feel all the time. And listen, I just want to say, and if there's anything I could say to you, man, be spiritually fit. Seek God throughout the week. Connect with others. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're going to pray over that in just a second.
This concludes today's message. We pray that you are encouraged and strengthened. For more information, please visit our website at gctlh.org or like us on Facebook.